Discover an easier way of doing business with the J.B. Hunt 360 platform. Manage the entire shipping process from start to finish, all in one place. See what the power of the J.B. Hunt 360 platform can do for you at jbhunt.com/power.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Back to Truck Up Podcast. I'm James Rooster Bowen. I'm here with Justin Super Trucker Martin. And before we get started, I want to thank OTR Solutions for sponsoring this podcast. Their factoring programs and solutions have taken sporting trucking companies to a whole new level. I could do a whole podcast on everything these guys bring to the table and the success stories that come from working with them. But for now, head on over to otrsolutions.com/BTU to learn more, connect with our dedicated BTU team. Justin, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing all right. Slept like a baby. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I had the worst jalapeno poppers yesterday. These were, I'm not going to say where I bought them from, but I've had the upset stomach all day and literally just bad case of upset tummy. You know, this is like beyond Pepto-Bismol, but I'm going to make it.
Jalapenos are like a double-edged sword because 9 out of 10 peppers will be just fine, but you got one with like some kind of weird Diablo seed in it, then you're going to be hurting for a day.
I think this guy got crossbred with some Carolina Reapers. These things are bad. But today, luckily we have a doctor in the house, so I'd like to introduce Karen Underwood. She's the co-founder, chief medical officer of Resana, a med tech company focused on sleep health. Dr. Underwood, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Hi, James and Justin. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation. And I do have to correct you. The name of our company, because it's people oftentimes mess it up, it's called Resonia.
Resonia.
So I would, you know, I'd never live it down if I didn't correct that. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. And I'm sorry to hear about your jalapeno poppers. That's awful.
Yeah, I mean, we had steak and, you know, I like to have some jalapeno poppers with them, you know, it's kind of like, well, what we do. And it's, these were like the worst, world's worst. But talking about a terrible subject that truck drivers deal with every day, obstructive sleep apnea. Before my trucking career began, I was actually a pharmacy technician at one of the local hospitals here in South Georgia and dealt with a lot of respiratory medications. I'm an asthma sufferer, so, you know, albuterol was my best friend through my childhood. So, kind of knew what I was getting into when I got diagnosed with sleep apnea upon getting hired on at Schneider. They have their drivers about 2 months going for a sleep apnea test, basically, you know, just parking your truck overnight with the infinity gauntlet of sleep apnea on your hand. You sleep with it, you take it off, they check it, and, you know, if you have it or not, you get a nice little box of sleep apnea machine, a hose, and some documentation to do. But here recently, we've seen some legislative efforts going into Congress about focusing more on sleep apnea, possibly making it a mandate for all drivers to have a check for sleep apnea. So we kind of want to have an expert come on to the show and talk with us about it. Justin and I both are sleep apnea patients. We have the machines at the house, and, you know, every time we get our CDL medical card, we have to take that print out or show the app on the phone to the doctor to get it certified that we are following protocols and, you know, make sure we wear it. You know, I believe the standard's 6 hours a night?
Yeah, it's like 4 hours a night or 70% of the nights.
When I show them my results, you know, I'm the worst. I'm a CPAP evangelist. Drivers are going to hate me, but I use mine every night. Never missed a night if I can. When I had my son 2 years ago, it's like every parent's worst nightmare. You don't get enough sleep. But even with the results I was sending to the doctors at the time for my DOT physicals, they're still like, oh wow, you're getting four to six hours a night with it every night. I was like, yeah, I never miss a night with it. So Rooster, I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's like a chicken or the egg thing? Like when I went through Schneider back in 07, 08, like, you know, I knew drivers that had CPAP machines. So they kept them in the trucks, but there wasn't like a company-wide mandate for testing drivers. When did you get hired with Schneider? Was that like a new thing with them?
This was 16 and 17 when I got hired on, and it was mandate. It was insurance company mandate. You're going to go get it tested or you're going to get shut down. And if you refuse to go get tested, they're going to terminate you. They did not want anybody with a chance to have apnea. This was back at the beginning of the nuclear verdicts, and a couple of those nuclear verdicts were tied to sleep apnea. So, you know, the writing was on the wall then. As soon as those $1 million payouts were coming out of the bank accounts from drivers having accidents and falling asleep behind the wheel, then, you know, you're going to get it done or we're going to find somebody else to fill that seat.
If I'm not mistaken, that's actually the time when Schneider first started doing their sleep apnea program. They've written up a lot of their results, you know, how they've decreased their number of accidents and they've decreased their turnover and their medical costs. So I think you must have been right there at the beginning of all of that.
Yeah, that was, I believe that was, I'm trying to think the company they had out of, I don't know if it was out of Houston, RMS Respiratory Monitoring Services out of Houston, I believe was the company we were using at the time. But yeah, it was like, you know, every 3 months you would get like a little gift box from them and it'd be like a new hose, filters, cleaning solution, all that good stuff to make sure everything was all right. And like every year they would send you another, the humidifier tank. You know, that if you used the humidifier. Yeah. Yep. Well, it was paid by insurance. So, you know, they didn't care. It was covered by the insurance policy.
Exactly. So I paid all that out of pocket. Basically, I was a contractor at the time when I got tested. So this was 2015 ish and our insurance. So even though we were postal contractors, we had to buy our own insurance outside of the postal service. And it was just terrible. It was like $700 a month with a $7,000 deductible. It just, nothing was covered. It was absolute crap. And of course, once I joined the postal service, we had excellent insurance, but I don't think I've ever used my insurance to pay for CPAP supplies. I always just went straight on Amazon to buy everything. And Rooster and I were actually just the other day talking.
Yes.
I can't find any hoses now.
Let's get into that.
I don't know if you can. So I have two, like we were talking earlier before the podcast, I have two cats and one of them decided to chew a bunch of holes in my CPAP hose.
Oh, no.
And exactly. I was like, oh, well, that sucks. No problem. Pull up my iPhone and start typing on Amazon. And I cannot find CPAP hoses anywhere on there. There's like a generic hose that I don't think is going to fit my machine. But do you know what the heck's going up with Amazon not selling hoses at the moment?
Oh, there I do used not. To be like, I mean, I know. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I just was going to say we have some other partners that we use, and maybe I could give you those names afterwards and look and see, because that's crazy that you can't find a hose.
Yeah, I could get replacement masks, cushions, headgear, filters, everything, except the machines themselves, because obviously you need a prescription for those. But as far as like supplies and stuff, I never had a problem going on Amazon and buying them. And I can't think how far back it's been into effect, but at least since like this last week, I tried to go on Amazon, and for now I can still buy replacement cushions. But as far as the hoses, they're all gone. So now I got to go to, you know, so I live in New Jersey, CPAP shop, I think they're called. They're based in a town just an hour west of me. But I mean, still it's like twice as expensive and it's 2 to 3 day shipping. I ordered it Thursday night and here it is Tuesday afternoon. Still not here. Amazon, I would have had it same day or next day for cheaper.
I know Amazon is redoing like their healthcare services. I think they're starting up like this Amazon clinic. So I don't know if they stop selling that way they can brand it with the Amazon brand, then go to selling it. But yeah, that's where I got my last hose, my blackout hose. And it's, you know, one of those real high quality, heavy gauge air hoses, but you can't find anything now. And what you can find it when you try to buy it, it says, are you a healthcare professional? You know, I don't know if it's something restricted on that end, you know, respiratory equipment. It's kind of a monitored industry, so I don't know if there's something going on there.
I'm kind of glad now that I didn't know about that during F3. Otherwise, I would have like pulled some of those Amazon people aside and said, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah,
they have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Strongly worded letter. We'll be going to Amazon trying to find out what's going on here. But other questions I want to talk with you, Doctor, about. Other than the nuclear verdicts and stuff like that, what really caused sleep apnea to hit mainstream? You know, I know I think it's been, what, about 10 years we're really seeing sleep apnea hit the mainstream and start being on the evening news.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because mainstream, we've kind of see it in mainstream medicine too, not just mainstream probably for the trucking industry, but I think as we have had more medical societies start to request, or they're starting to say that you need to screen for sleep apnea, like the American College of Cardiology told cardiologists, you need to start screening for sleep apnea of your patients because there's such a correlation between rhythm problems, for example, and heart failure and sleep apnea. We've also seen the American Dental Association has told their dentists, you need to be screening your patients for sleep apnea every year. So I think there's probably several things. And as we have an aging population, these kind of a linear relationship, as you get older, there's more sleep apnea associated there. So I think there's several things that's just kind of letting people realize you can't really ignore it anymore. There's so many other, you know, diabetes and obesity are tied together with sleep apnea, and those incidences are going up. So it's kind of all, you know, all meshed in there.
It's funny you said you see it more on the evening news. I see a lot of it just in like pop culture stuff now. A lot of like sitcoms and movies and stuff, they'll have characters that, you know, are wearing CPAP masks and stuff. And I'm like kind of torn because, like I said earlier, like I use my machine all the time and I enjoy it. But at the same time, like I see the push that they're trying to do. They're trying to get everybody to do it. And I, you know, I'm like, okay, fine, get tested, but at least let it be like your choice. I'm not a fan of, you know, companies mandating from on high, or at least if they're going to mandate it, you know, cover the costs. You know, if you're pushing it on your employees, you should be footing the bill for that if you think it's worth it.
Well, and I'm sure you guys, you know, both of you talked a little bit about the process that you had to go through to get tested. And it's not easy, you know. Mm-mm. I mean, it can be quite complicated or onerous, and depending on where you are as a driver, to be able to have to go somewhere and pick up a machine. And then you try to sleep, like you said, if you have all these sensors on you and you try to have a normal night's sleep, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. So I'll go through my experience. I was a local driver at the time. I was fortunate that I lived in Philadelphia and there was, you know, Jefferson Sleep Clinic just up the street from me. Awesome clinic, great doctors. And so they go through and, let me start with this. So my girlfriend at the time, but now my wife, she was complaining about her not getting enough sleep because I was sleeping so poorly through the night, you know, snoring and pausing, not breathing, that she was just terrified that I was going to drop dead sitting next to her. And then I had always grown up, you know, I was a big guy, always snored. Both my parents were heavy sleepers, but I would have friends tell me like, no, dude, you don't snore. You're like a volcano going off. And, you know, to me, it was funny. And then when I finally went to the clinic at the behest of my girlfriend, the doctors there were like, okay, we're going to do like the easy physical on you. And then we're going to ask your insurance for permission if you can get a sleep study here, which I thought was nuts. You have to ask, instead of asking the doctor what the doctor wants to do, the doctor has to ask the insurance company what they can do. And of course the insurance company denies you. They say like 99% of all requests from the clinic to insurance companies get denied for an in-clinic sleep study test. So they send you home with a home study test, and it was either one night or two nights. I don't remember, but I slept with the instrument panel on my chest and some wires and air hose up to my nose. And of course slept like shit. Get the SD card back to them the next afternoon. And I mean, right there, they put it in the computer and they have like this whole graph chart and everything of all my sleep results. And she asked me, she's like, how long do you think you can hold your breath? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, do you think you can hold it for a minute? And I said, probably, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable, but I probably could. And she's like, check this out. She zooms in on this chart on the computer. And she's like, you stop breathing for a minute here, 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 here. Like all through the night, I was just like not breathing. I was like, holy shit. And I was waking up with like horrific headaches. I was driving every day from Philadelphia to Virginia and back. Every day was like a 14-hour day. So I was probably only sleeping 5 hours a night. And then I would try to catch up on my sleep on my days off. And even on my days off, my quality of sleep was so poorly. They were like, you were doing more damage to yourself sleeping in longer, trying to catch up on your sleep. Because my blood oxygen level was like below 80%. And so sent a tech to my house with the machine mask. We set it all up. They found a mask to fit me right. And within like 2 or 3 days, it was just like the fog was lifted. I noticed like I stopped falling asleep on the couch all the time. I could like stay up and watch movies all the way through. My girlfriend eventually became my wife because she stopped threatening to break up with me because I wasn't falling asleep all the time anymore. So that was nice. No, the machine absolutely saved my life. And I think anyone who feels like they're not sleeping as well as they should be, definitely should be, tested and follow their doctor's advice.
Like the poster child of of sleep apnea, right? Because you had you had all the symptoms, and without even realizing it. And it's funny because a lot of times we talk about sleep apnea being a two-person disease. Because like your girlfriend, right? She couldn't get sleep. So you both are suffering. And there's a new term that we've now seen kind of surfacing in social media, and it's called a sleep divorce. Have you guys heard that?
No, but I can see where this is going.
Entails.
Right. So it's because of this, right? They're like, I'm not going to sleep with you anymore because I can't get sleep either. So yeah. I'm so glad you decided to go get it checked out and that you feel better. I mean, that's perfect. And that's one of the reasons, for Resonia, we had 4 medical doctors come together. And we'd all been involved in different specialties, different things we're doing. And we came together and we said, what can we do to have a huge impact on, the medical community? And we all realized that the sleep apnea and sleep industry just was kind of messy and it just needed some disruption. And that's where we realized that it underlies, like, untreated sleep apnea underlies so many different medical diseases that if you don't get sleep apnea treated, you're never going to have good sleep and you can't adequately treat these other diseases. So we said, okay, what can we do to try to make an impact? And so we start looking at the testing process and we're like, okay, that's got to be improved, So we put our heads together and we hired some really smart people. And we developed a home sleep test that's just deployed on your phone. So you don't have to be strapped to anything. So you could just sleep in your bed. And so that's what we were trying to do and help, specifically think about drivers too. I mean, how can you do it on your time and your schedule to make it easy as possible?
So if it's just on your phone, is it just picking up your sleeping through the microphone?
It is. So it's you download an app and you answer some questions, make a profile. And then when you're ready to sleep, you hit a button and it accesses the phone's microphone. So it's actually, because as sleep apnea is a sleep breathing problem, right? You're not breathing when you're sleeping, like you said. So we're picking up that. And then we have this algorithm that is analyzing your sound files in the cloud. And then that gives you your own personal report in the morning.
And the results are pretty comparable to like what you would see versus like a clinic test that I have.
Yeah, they are. We actually went through the FDA clearance process. So we had to actually demonstrate that it was just as accurate as an in-lab test. And, as you could imagine, something this disruptive, it took a while. We had to go through a clinical study and we had to do all of this. But in the end, now we're happy we made it through that process. And now we're just getting, you know, kind of in the early days of launching to drivers to make it easier for them to get tested if they want to or if they need to.
Yeah, that's so that was going to be my next question is how hard has it been for you guys to like approach drivers and be like, hey, we're here to, we're not like some, you know, it's so easy for drivers to get like caught conspiratorially in this stuff because it's like when you're getting five different people and organizations and everything coming at you saying, get this done. It's like, you know, if depending on your kind of personality you have, you could easily push back and be like, no, you know, if this many people are trying to tell me to get it done, it's like, no, I want to do what I want to do. How hard has that been to like be approachable to drivers and say like, hey, we're actually on your side on this?
Well, and I think it's early days and I think we're making progress, but you know, being on shows like yours to be able to say, hey, we, you know, we're doctors who did this and all we want is for the drivers to be healthy. We're not here mm-hmm. to mandate yeah. to you what to do, but because I mean, it's the same, whether it's drivers or other patients, you have to make the process as easy as possible. You have to reduce barriers or people aren't going to go get tested. I mean, it takes forever for people to get tested normally. I mean, they usually have sleep apnea for years before they get tested because it's painful. Yeah. You know, it is. So trying to reduce those barriers yeah. and say, let us help you. Let us, you know, whenever you're ready or if your medical examiner says you need to have a sleep test, think about doing one that you don't have to have shipped to you and you can just download it on your phone. I mean, it's easy. And then it's private and they just, you mm-hmm. know, to be able to use something that you have in your pocket all the time is something that's very helpful, I think.
Yeah, it's not like there's a lot of doctor's offices out there with truck parking.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, you have the convenience on your phone. You can do it anywhere. You don't have to figure out where to put your truck, how to get to the clinic, how to get back to your truck. The loss of pay of having to take a day off to do it. So, I mean, it's a great idea, a great product. You know, we've talked about, you know, as Justice said, snoring, the headaches he had. Are there any other warning signs of sleep apnea? I've always heard the big neck, you know, I believe it's what, a 14 to 15 inch neck and above, you may have sleep apnea. Are there any other warning signs to look for?
Well, yeah. And you know, and if we just kind of go back to making sure everybody understands what sleep apnea is first, then some of the warning signs kind of make more sense. So with sleep apnea, it's the upper airway, kind of the neck and above, closing off when you sleep. And so that makes it so you can't breathe properly. So you're not breathing in oxygen properly. And that's where, Justin, you were talking about your oxygen levels go down.
Yeah.
And then you don't breathe out. You're not exhaling carbon dioxide. And that's what causes your morning headaches, is that you have yep. this buildup of the carbon dioxide. And so that is what can occur over time, over and over again. And so they talk about a big neck and maybe your weight being up as you know, being associated with sleep apnea. And that's basically just because you'll have more tissue around the neck that can cause that to collapse down when you sleep. But there's other things too. So as we get older, our tissues are not as, they don't have as much tone as normal. So that's why you see an increase in sleep apnea just as you age. If you have a small jaw, so I actually have sleep apnea, I have mild sleep apnea, and I have a small jaw. And so I wear an oral appliance and that kind of brings my jaw open, you know, forward a little bit to keep my airway open. And so it's those sorts of kind of airway issues or abnormalities. And then we know that when you have other diseases, if that kind of other organ diseases, if you're not getting enough oxygen in when you sleep, then it's impairing your heart, your pancreas, even your brain. You're not thinking properly. You have a risk of stroke. All those things are happening with sleep apnea. So I think you probably touched on, I mean, Justin, you probably touched on most of them with the snoring. Really, whoever you're sleeping with, your bed partner will say that I'm worried that you are not breathing, like you stop mm-hmm. breathing or choking. You'll be tired during the day. And sometimes I find that people don't think they're tired during the day. but you're drinking a ton of caffeine to stay awake. Yep. And it's not until you get treated, you feel better, right? That then you're like, oh God, I was really bad.
What was most eye-opening for me was I'm in the waiting room at this clinic, and I'm looking at all, there's like, God, probably 15 of us in there. Cause it's just like, you're in and out within 20 minutes for just the initial appointment. So I'm looking at everybody else in there, and it's like everybody from all ages, races, walks of life and everything. But we all have the same, like, just exhausted look in our eyes. And I'm like, oh, I found my people.
You found your exhausted people. Yeah. And hopefully like, man, you all come back and you're better.
Yeah. So with me, it was, they sent me home for the, with the test, came back, got the machine hooked up, and then I did a follow up, I believe 30 days later. And since then, you know, it's, I haven't had to like check in with anybody. I mean, it's been years since I've had to go back there. But I probably should, again, having a 2-year-old now, it's really hard to still be as active as, as you were, but what's the word I'm picking up here? The symptoms really of sleep apnea, they're kind of accumulative, because like in your early 20s, you know, you sure you're a snorer, but it's fine. But then like you get in your late 20s and early 30s, and then things really start to compound. For me, it was like I shot up 20 pounds within a couple of months, and then like then the headaches, and it was just like boom, 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 one thing after another. And all that stopped as soon as I got the CPAP machine. You know, within like 6 months, I dropped 50 pounds, been sleeping a lot better, eating better. But it's without the machine to really kickstart, you know, the weight loss and everything, it's so hard to even just get the motivation to do it in the first place, because you're so tired and brain fatigued and brain fogged. You don't even know what's going on at the time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that too, because the sleep apnea too messes around with your hormones. So it makes you so that you don't feel full as quickly as you normally would, and you're craving high sugar foods. So then that's kind of screwy and out of balance. And then that makes you gain weight. So, and then you're tired. Like you said, you don't have the energy. So you're like, how the heck can I go work out or go walk or something? Cause I don't feel like it. And then it's not until you get treated that then those things start to reverse, and then you start to feel better. And it's luckily a domino effect kind of the other way too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good. I'm glad to hear that your experience has been positive.
Yeah. I noticed an instant change when, so every day I was going from Philadelphia to Ashland, Virginia and back on my route. And right before you get to Washington, D.C., there's a rest area. And every day I just pull into that rest area and catch like a 15, 20 minute snooze, because I was just too damn tired to keep going. And then once I had the CPAP for about a week, I realized like, oh, I don't have to stop here anymore. Oh, I can actually just keep going and do my whole route. And then it's like once you get like the mental clarity of like just how bad it was before you got fixed, you're just like, how the hell am I still alive?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
especially because you're a truck driver. You know, when you feel the so one thing I was always very tuned into was like the micro sleeps. You know, if you're driving and you're fatigued and you start like, you know, missing mile markers and you're counting them in your head and stuff, that's when I'm like, okay, pull. I never mess with that. I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm gonna power through and I'm gonna chug a gallon of coffee and make it. It's like, no. But as soon as I felt that, I'd pull over, 15 minute snooze, and then I'm good to go for another couple hours. But I kind of noticed that I was doing that more and more as I was getting older, and I was like, nope, gotta put a stop to this.
All right. Get my thoughts together on it. Doctor, sleep apnea, treatments are usually with the mask over face, the CPAP devices. Also I see on television, there's like these little gimmick devices, you know, that like goes up in your nose. And I don't know if it's like a battery powered blower or something that, you know, helps you awake, or, and there's also like a surgical appliance they put in. I don't know if it's like inside of your throat. Do you know of any of those devices and you know how they operate?
Yeah, I do. Now the kind of the gimmicky ones that you talk about, some of those will actually try to dilate, you know, open up your nose and your nasal airway. And those are not really treatments for you know, the real sleep apnea, I'd say, because it really doesn't help open up the airway. If you've been watching TV at night, you'll see a lot of commercials for that surgical procedure. And what happens with that is that you can't, that is a surgery that you can only get if you're not able to use or tolerate CPAP. But it's like a pacemaker for this nerve that runs down your neck. So it stimulates that nerve that then stimulates the muscles in the back of your neck to open it up at night.
Oh, okay.
And so I think they're having pretty good outcomes with that, but it's still a surgical procedure. And so you have to kind of go through, you have to be diagnosed with sleep apnea. Then you have to say, I can't tolerate or I can't wear CPAP. And then you go through more testing to say that you're a candidate for that procedure.
If you haven't gone to otrsolutions.com/BTU yet, here's your reminder. Not sure how to say it, but factoring these guys just makes sense. They're focused on driving your success and helping you grow your company. They've gone as far as offering custom business email address setups so you can negotiate better rates with brokers. There's just so much opportunity out there, and OTR is your ticket to success. So head on over to otrsolutions.com/BTU and check out their solutions.
I don't think, so I don't like having my mask on because it messes up my beard in the morning, but I don't think I'd go the surgical route.
I don't.
Although it's tempting. It's a little tempting.
Yeah, I think that's, I think they reserve that for the most kind of the worst case scenarios sometimes, because, there are side effects and issues with surgeries and anesthesia and all those things. Yeah. So I'm like you. I usually like to wait in case to do something like that until it's absolutely necessary.
Well, something that was really eye-opening for me at the clinic was the all the different types of sleep apnea. So it's not just like a physical thing too. There's like a neurological CPAP too, where some people just, their brain's not sending the signal for them to breathe during the night while they're sleeping.
Yeah.
So is that what this kind of procedure is to help treat?
No, so the most common sleep apnea that we've been talking about is called obstructive sleep apnea. So that's, where your airway is obstructed or narrowed off. There's a central sleep apnea, like you're talking about.
Yep,
usually in medicine, we talk about central, it's kind of the brain. So the brain's not telling you to breathe. So then you can still wear a CPAP, but sometimes it's got to have maybe like a rate, or it's got to monitor how often you're breathing so that it'll give you breaths if you're not breathing properly. And then you can have a mixed type. So you can have both, a little bit of the obstructive plus the central sleep apnea. But the good thing is usually the CPAP and the machines usually work for both of them. It just might take a little bit different settings. The doctor might have to just set it a little bit differently with different rates or pressures.
That gimmick nose thing that Rooster was talking about earlier, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I saw images of that years ago, and I kind of knew back then it's kind of BS, because just the way that my machine operates, first they set it up to your breathing initially, and then through the night, it'll ramp up. So like sometimes you put it on and it pushes gently. It's not, you don't put it on and it just starts blowing, into your lungs. It's a gentle push. And then you can always tell sometimes at night, like either your head's resting differently or the mask might not be fitting right. But, sometimes if it is fitting perfectly and you got a perfect night's sleep, when you wake up, it's still just a gentle push. But then other nights, you wake up the next morning and you just, the air is just absolutely blasting. Because a decent CPAP machine will ramp up the push through the night as needed. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and I think a lot of these other gimmick machines are just like, nope, we're just going to full blast, air hose or air. We're going to have an air chuck up your nose and blast out your lungs.
Well, and the CPAP machines have become smarter. That's one good thing. They have the auto titrating. I'm not sure if that's what you have. So then it kind of knows, right? So if there's a night where you're laying on your back and you need more pressure, it'll give you more pressure. Or if you lose weight or something, you don't need as much pressure, it'll ramp it down. So that's a nice thing. It makes it so it's not as uncomfortable, because before, we just had to set an upper and a lower pressure, and it would try to deliver that pressure no matter what. And it was uncomfortable,
Yeah. So my first CPAP machine was the Philips DreamStation. That was the one that was under that huge recall. And I have no idea.
Let's get into that.
How I was able to pull. I got no idea how I was able to pull it off, but I actually got my replacement machine. I believe Rooster knew about it beforehand, and even my mom, she was the one who told me about the recall. So, you know, shout out to all the worried moms out there. She told me about the recall, and she has a CVAT machine now too. And I still don't think she's gotten her replacement machine yet. You know, I've had mine for a few months now, and I guess just, you know, with all the craziness in the supply chain and chip shortages now, you know, they still can't get them out fast enough. Do you know anything about what's going on with those?
Yeah. So as you said, the just to kind of catch people up if they're not familiar, you had these CPAP machines that had this foam inside. It was the Philips one. And it was not just CPAP machine. It was their ventilators as well, you know, like that mm-hmm. you use in, you know, in the hospitals to breathe for, breathe for patients.
An so APAP, they, like the APAP ventilator.
Yep.
And they had this foam that was supposed to make it kind of quieter and to decrease vibration. And it started, or at least they said it had the possibility of breaking off and getting into your lungs. So it was a voluntary recall by Philips. And now there's a whole FDA page and you can register your device. And so that's a big deal. And they recalled all those. So that's a nightmare for them. And so many people were on, you know, it's Philips and ResMed are the two big companies. And so almost half the market.
Was this pre-COVID or right at the start of COVID?
Yeah, it was kind of.
I'm trying to remember the timing of it.
Yeah, I think it was pre-COVID. And then you have all of the, so they're trying to ramp up, they're trying to get rid of all the ones on the market that may cause trouble. And then trying to make new machines that doesn't have that problem. And then you have supply chain issues with COVID. And then you have this chip shortage because a lot of the, the CPAP machines now are these smart CPAP machines that have chips in there that communicate kind of by Bluetooth and wirelessly. So you can look at your compliance, right? Your doctor can look at it. How are you doing? You can do it for your DOT physical exams. Here's my compliance. So they all have these chips. So then now you can't get chips. So it's a double whammy. And people were either stuck with old machines or they couldn't get them at all, or they're using the ones that are supposed to be recalled.
And it's even worse. So before I get into, it got even worse for me. I'll dig into that later. But as far as anyone was still with, so again, drivers, if you're listening, if you have the Philips DreamStation 1, check the serial number on the back of that. And just Google Philips CPAP recall and make sure that the serial number isn't involved in that recall either. So with all these like supply chain issues they're having, when is there no way that they can just like send a tech out to you and like disassemble the damn thing and put like different foam in there? Or is it just a complete enclosed system?
No, it was inside. Now we have partners that are, you know, that are CPAP suppliers. And so they're telling us now, like some of the small ones were totally shut down. Like their business was just done because they couldn't get any supply to help people. But now they're starting to get the supply back. So people should. But now the machines that we're seeing that are starting to come out are not the smart machines with the chips. There's still a shortage of those. Instead of them, they have an SD card that you have to take out and then plug in and get that read for your compliance.
Yeah. See, so mine has that. And this is another thing I got to tell drivers. If you are one of the lucky few that do get the new machine, do not take your old chip out and put it in the new one because your data gets wiped. That happened to me. Mm-hmm. I was up for, I just got the new machine and 2 months later I was up for a DOT physical. And when I took there's an app on my phone. It works great. But I can sync my sleep data to my phone and I can print out a PDF file from my phone or email it to the provider when I get there. And so going for my DOT and I tell them, hey, I'm part of that stupid recall with Philips, but I still have the results here for my test. But they would only give me a 30-day card. They wouldn't give me a year because I only had like 45 days going back. And I was like, oh, great. I wish I had known that ahead of time. So and of course that was right when I joined FreightWave. So I was paying for my DOT DOT physical out of my own pocket. I didn't have my employer paying for it anymore. So yeah, if you do get the new machine, either, try and get a paper copy of everything you've got already or make a backup before you put it in before you put the SD card in the new machine. 'Cause it will wipe all the old data.
Yeah, that's good to know for sure. Because if you don't have that 90 days worth of data, they won't give you your card.
Yeah, if you're in good health, I've only heard of 2 years. 2 years was the longest I ever got a DOT physical for. But with CPAP or with sleep apnea, they'll only give you a year, which is kind of annoying. But yeah, that was the first time I had ever gotten a 30-day card. I knew a guy once that had a 7-day card. Every 7 days, he had to go in and get renewed. That's a pain. But again, it's like when your employer's paying for it, you don't really care.
Yeah, it's just painful schedule wise.
Yeah. Well, we were in the postal service, so it's like, you know, you're local every day, and the clinic's right across the street. So, you're on the clock when you get over there. So, of course, nobody cares. It's test me all you want.
Since we've talked about that, we're starting to get into the legal aspects of things of federal mandates and legislation. They've slowly have been popping up. You know, we got a new Congress coming in. Quite possibly, we could see some CPAP legislation mandating it, that all drivers have to get checked in on it, not just if it's a voluntary by company. Dr. Underwood, have you heard anything about this? And can you speculate, you know, how soon we might see something like this come through Congress?
You know, we're watching it. We have some members of our team that are, you know, closely looking at that, because, as you know, it was very close before in 2016. And then when we changed administration, then it was stopped. So I don't think, we haven't seen anything new. I think it always pops its head up, you know, and that was one of the things that we were talking about how could we help drivers if that happens, right? Like, because it's going to be hard for the demand to be met for drivers to be able to get tested. And so we were trying to, you know, with a software like we are, we're trying to make sure that we could handle the volume and help drivers and have connections to doctors and CPAP distributors if we need to help. Because we want drivers to be able to do it. You know, we're not here to mandate to anybody, but if there's going to be a mandate, then it needs to be clear, and it needs to be, the drivers need to have a pathway to get the testing in a cost efficient manner. Cause like you were saying, if you have to pay for it yourself, it can be expensive. So that's what we've been working on, is like, how do we help the drivers? And, you know, we're trying to make our solution as cost effective as possible.
And something I don't understand is, like, okay, the people who pass this legislation, do they not realize how many truck drivers there are out there and how few sleep clinics relatively there are? Like, they're going to get crushed.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think that's honestly where some of the hesitation has been, you know, and you've probably seen those articles where they, FMCSA just released for public comment, the new medical examiner handbook. So there's a medical examiner handbook, and I'm actually a certified medical examiner. I went through all the training, you know, because I figured I need to know what the drivers are being asked. Like, we can't develop a product for drivers unless we have some idea of what this process is. So they have the medical examiner handbook, and they have a new kind of copy and guidance out there. But when you look at the sleep apnea guidance, it's very, very vague still. And so there's a lot of people not real happy with that. I don't know if you guys hear any feedback from that, but because the medical examiners don't get much guidance on who they should ask to get tested. So it's kind of variable. There's not a lot of consistency. You know, it's like for blood pressure, they're like, if you have a blood pressure between this and this, and you have to do this, and vision and hearing, but the sleep apnea is not really as tight as probably people would like it to be, I think, just for guidance.
Yeah, a few years ago, they passed new legislation for DOT physicals. So it used to be like you could walk into basically any doctor's office or clinic, and get a DOT physical. And then probably 2 years after I moved to Philly, that new rule went into effect. And so there was like a list of doctors that you had to get on that were like certified for DOT physicals. And there was one right down the street from me in South Philadelphia. And she wasn't a doctor's office. She was a like a chiropractor, quality of life pain clinic type of deal. So her, like, 99.9% of all her patients were people that she would just like readjust spines and stuff on. And so I walk into the office one day and I was like, hey, I'm here for a DOT physical. And she's like, oh, okay, hold on. She knew that this legislation was coming down, and she paid the fine or whatever it was to get, you know, certified for this thing. But like her blood pressure cuff, the hose on that thing was like dry rotted because he never used it. Like, it was just complete. Like, I was like the most quackery office I'd ever been to. I didn't have to like go to the bathroom at the time. So, you know, you have to pee in a cup for the test, and there's a bottle shop, beer store right across the street. And so I'm sitting there in a clinic, and she's got like other patients waiting, you know, to go in after me. And like, we're still waiting on me to like have to go pee, and I'm drinking water left and right. And I was like, I really can't go. And she's like, I'll just go across the street, have a couple of beers and come back. And I was like, really? So it was the best DOT physical I ever had.
You're right. Cause now in order to be a DOT medical examiner, you have to go through training. You have to go to a testing center and take a test, and then you have to register with FMCSA. So they made a little more formal. And then you have these forms, you know, that you have to file. So the forms you probably see in the driver forms. But, and there's no real requirement for your training, for your medical or non-medical training. So, and I think since you have such a wide variety of people who are doing the DOT medical exams, you almost need more guidance sometimes, so that a driver walking into the chiropractor or to the nurse practitioner can kind of have similar expectations. So they know themselves, when I go in there, this is what's going to happen to me.
it is such a wide range. Like when I was in the Postal Service, we had a clinic that we went through. First was Concentra, and then they changed contracts, and they had a company called Work Confidence. And very comparable, you know, very, again, a lot of the drivers hated it because they're so thorough. You know, you got these old guys that are in their 60s and 70s, and I think we had like one guy that was 80 or 81 still driving a semi. And every time they walk in, they're like, oh, crap, am I going to make it? Because a lot of those guys, what they'll do is they'll go to the clinic. The clinic will pass them. And then they go to their own personal doctor. And their personal doctor will pass them. Mm. And then eventually the higher-ups at the Postal Service were like, no, we're paying you to go to our clinic. So whatever our clinic says is what goes. And I think a lot of guys – and it was – that new rule plus COVID had just happened, and a lot of the guys just like straight up retired, like right there on the spot. They're like, we're not dealing with this anymore. But as far as me, like my last DOT physical, same thing. It was just some guy that goes from chiropractor's office to chiropractor's office, and then he's got a big DOT physical bumper sticker on the back of his car with his phone number, and that's how I found him. Wasn't as like a, you know, he was a good, a decent guy, but it wasn't like super quacky like the first chiropractor lady I went to. But I'd say he's probably still like kind of in the middle. Rooster, what's been like your best and worst experience at some of these clinics?
Basically, you know, I use the airport clinic down in Vadosa. It's great, you know, great, basically a workers' compensation medical clinic. You know, anytime you have an accident, they send you down there to get checked out and get your physical therapy and all that stuff taken care of. And it's also, you know, one of the biggest DOT clinics in South Georgia. It's pretty all right. The worst experience I actually had was not too long ago, back when I was with Landstar. I actually got stuck up in Maine and could not get home, get a load home to be able to get to my DOT physical. And so I basically had to go to a CVS Health out in Bangor, Maine. And this lady, I think I may have been her first CDL physical. So she was having to get the book out, make sure everything was right. She had to call a regional supervisor, make sure she'd done everything right. And finally got my form working.
Oh, man.
Fax it off, send it in.
No, this guy I went to, I was probably his millionth, because it was like boom, 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 heart rate, blood pressure, out, boom, boom, door, hearing test, stretch, do this, this, that, boom, boom. Yep. Yeah, those guys are paid by the patient, not the hour, for sure.
At least you have confidence that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, and again, I'm not driving anymore. Or I jokingly say I drive a desk, but I still want to keep my CDL valid and my DOT physical valid. So I went to him to keep it up to date, and thank God I did, because you know I got to drive the plus truck there at F3 recently. And I wouldn't have been able to do that. I was the only guy with Freightways that got to do it. Everyone else did a ride along with them, and I actually got to drive the truck because I still had a valid CDL. So, you know, any other autonomous trucking companies out there that want me to test out their truck, let me know.
you're ready to go.
We mentioned earlier about trying to, you know, reach out to drivers, you know, to say, hey, we're on your side. And we talked a little bit about like the sleep divorces. Has there been like an attempt to also reach out to like spouses of people with sleep apnea to be like, hey, you know, tell them to get their butts in?
Yes. Yeah. I think that is the way to go too. So we're mm-hmm. working with a couple different companies and they're sending postcards to the spouses. And we're working with Challenger Motor Freight, you know, they're out of Canada.
Yeah.
And they're screening their drivers just voluntarily. You know, they've had quite a few drivers that just want to know for themselves, and all of their healthcare goes through the Canadian medical system. But we have this, they introduced Drowsel. That's the name of our program, Drowsel.
And it's a good name.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, don't be drowsy driving, use Drowsel.
Yeah.
And so they had this brochure that talked about it, and they introduced it at one of their driver appreciation, you know, events. And it's funny because now we put little tags so we know when people register for Drowsel, we know where they're coming from. And we keep having drivers register using this booth, this booth brochure from months ago. And we're like, I wonder if they took that home and their wife has been bugging them. And then they get home and they're like, okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. Here's the QR code, sign up and use this. You know, so I do think the spouses and the bed partners always the ones to kind of help push it along, because you don't always know, right, when you're sleeping.
Exactly.
You don't know. And so they're worried and they want to make sure that that you're healthy and that you can, you know, make it safely home. So I do think that that's a good way, having your loved ones, you know, kind of help kind of prod you a little bit. And I wanted to let you know, too, that if any of your drivers are interested, if they go to drowsel.com, so it's drowzle.com, then they can learn a little bit more about what we do. And there's a, if they want to do, we have a home sleep test, but we also have a way that they can just download the app and screen themselves. It's just a way for them to know at home. So there's put in a special code, BTU, lowercase, that they can put in there. If they go to the ones for Drowsel Sleep Health Program for drivers or for truckers, they can use that code and then they can get a big discount off of that and just download it themselves, see what it's like. And then if they screen themselves on their phone and they say, okay, I guess I do need a home sleep test, they can even be proactive and push a button and buy the home sleep test from within the app themselves. Because, you know, my ideal is that the drivers would actually want to screen themselves and know ahead of time before their CDL so that they don't have to be out of the cab at all. And they can just say, boom, here's my compliance. I'm already on treatment. Here's my compliance and get your 1 year license or, you know, your 1 year certification. So if, you know, if that's something that your drivers or your audience would be interested in going and checking it out, then we created a special code so they can get a discount and try it out themselves.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. I think
that's awesome. Part of the appreciate it.
Yeah. I think part of the pushback from drivers too, is like, they're afraid that once they get diagnosed with this diagnosis, basically, it becomes like a black mark on the record and then they can't get work anywhere. That's absolutely not the case. You know, it's kind of the opposite. It's if you're going undiagnosed and then you fall asleep at the wheel and you get into a major accident, your career is over. Whereas every time I've ever gone in for a physical, I tell them straight off the bat, I have sleep apnea. I use my CPAP. Here's my results. And then it's like, okay, fine. As long as you're being treated and going through your treatment, everything so far has been okay. I've never heard of a company refusing to hire anyone that's not going through treatment yet. Are you aware of that?
And I mean, FMCSA says that as long as you get treated, you're as safe as other drivers who don't. And, you know, we ask a lot of the carriers we work with and none of them say that they won't hire drivers with sleep apnea. They just need to be treated. You know, they just, in order to get their CDL, right, they just have to show compliance.
Yeah. And also, it is reversible too, right? Like, you know, I still use mine every night just because I think at this point it's habitual and, you know, it's still got plenty of weight to lose. But as far as, you know, like with treatment and health lifestyle changes and everything, it's completely reversible, right?
Well, you know, I think it depends on where you start, you know, because if you look at the statistics, they say that for every 10 to 15% of weight loss, your sleep apnea can improve by 50%. But I mean, like, it depends on where you're starting. Most of the time, most people say that the weight loss, if you have weight loss, it will actually help make it so it's not as severe. But it depends. I don't know whether people are ever able to totally reverse it where they don't need treatment, you know, at all. And so it depends on how much, what your weight is, what you're starting with, and how severe sleep apnea is. If you're just mild and you lose a lot of weight, you may be okay. But you'll have to kind of follow it up with another test when you have the weight loss and see. And that way you'll know.
Yeah. I'm at the point now where I just do not see myself not sleeping without it. It definitely changed my life for the better. And if you're listening to this and you think you might be in a similar situation I was in, definitely get it checked out.
Dr. Underwood, where can people find you online, and where can you find more information on Resonea?
If drivers want to get in touch with us, we can be reached at 1-877-DROWSLE. So that's 1-877-DROWZLE. And I can be reached by email at askdrkaren, that is K-A-R-E-N, so A-S-K-D-R-K-A-R-E-N, at drowzle.com, D-R-O-W-Z-L-E.com.
I mean, and drivers, if you have any questions, email me directly. I'm the chief medical officer. I'll answer your questions. If I don't know the answer, then I'll find it out for you. But you deserve to know. You deserve to be healthy and, you know, at least have correct information. And if we can help you get a sleep test that's easier, faster, and cheaper, I mean, I would love to do that.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for your generous time. I hope drivers listening to this talk to their doctors and get the treatment that they need.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been really good. I appreciate talking to you both.
Thank you, doctor. But I guess that's going to be all for us today. We appreciate Dr. Underwood's time and helping talk about the problem with sleep apnea and also talking about her product with Resonea and Drowsle. So once again, I'm James Rooster Bowen. I'm here with Just Super Trucker Martin with Back Truck Up Podcast, and we'll catch you guys down the road.